meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As Jesus stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time, this man had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. I read the start to this story, and I just think, that man is somebody's baby. This man who lives not in a house, not in a home, but in a graveyard, in the tombs. This man who is naked and chained up and alone. He is somebody's baby. This man who is so possessed he can't even remember or speak his own name. He is somebody's baby. Somebody held him in their arms when he was a babe. Maybe someone sang lullabies to him or built him a crib. Maybe he was brought forth with tears and great pain. Maybe he was a long-awaited baby, a first and only, or a little brother. This man who lives not in a house, but in the tombs. This man who is naked and chained up and alone. He is somebody's baby. But there's no one here to care for him. I wonder when they saw the changes start. If they saw his own personality fade and his confusion start to grow. Who put him out of the house? Or did he leave of his own accord? Did someone plead for him to stay? Did he become violent? Who suggested chaining him up? Who suggested the tombs? His family saw all the hopes for that baby that they knew fade and disappear. Now no one helps him dress. No one makes sure he is fed and warm. He has no company, no name. But this man, he is somebody's baby. But not everybody sees it that way. For the people of the town, this man is not somebody's baby, but he is a problem to deal with, an issue to be handled. This system, it works for the people of the town, you see, because it's awfully uncomfortable being around that crazy guy. He is hard to deal with. Taking care of him, it would be too difficult and cost too much. It would be such a chore. He reminded them of the darkest parts of life and the worst parts of themselves, and they don't want that. That's not a nice way to live, being reminded of those things all the time. So it's much better for everyone, even for him, you see, to keep him chained up and out of town. Everyone was safer that way, out of sight, out of mind. But God the Father sees him. And God the Father knows that he is somebody's baby. Because he's his baby too. A beloved child of God. So Jesus leaves his own territory. He leaves the land of his birth and his people, and he enters a foreign land opposite his own land, and he encounters this man at the tombs, and he does what should be done for any child of God, for any child. He frees him. He casts out the demons. The man is healed. He is whole. He is treated with the dignity that he deserves because he is somebody's baby. He is a beloved child of God. June is Pride Month, as most of you likely know by now. A month for those who might identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, questioning, intersex, or asexual. A time for these folks to take pride in who they are. And so many cities have a pride march to show support. Well, one man attended Pittsburgh's pride march earlier this month with a special t-shirt. It read, "Free Dad Hugs." This man gave out over 700 hugs that day. Some were happy, but many, he said, were less so. He encountered people of all ages whose own parents had kicked them out, or who had stopped speaking to them when they came out as lesbian or gay or transgender. Some of these folks had gone for a very long time without a dad hug. And more than one person broke down sobbing in his arms. But this man knew that they were, each one of them, somebody's baby. And so this man did what he could to cast out the demons that they had known. But demons, they're hard to shake loose. I see the homeless women and men at our train station. I can't help but think, each one of them is somebody's baby. Each one of them is a beloved child of God. But we, the people of Hicksville, keep finding excuses for why not to open up our churches to them. Reasons for why they are different and why they can't have the same things that we have and deserve. Some demons are very, very hard to shake loose. We might not chain people up in a graveyard, but we are in the practice of keeping people in warehouses, detention centers, prisons, cages, migrant people at our border, migrant children. I see their faces every night when I put Felix to bed. And I think those children who are separated from their parents, those children who are going without proper medical care when they're sick, those children who our government is arguing are not deserving of soap and toothpaste, those children who are dying, those children are somebody's baby. Do you know that? Can you see that? These are beloved children of God who deserve the same as you or I, who deserve the same as our children. But there are some powerful demons at work who want us to see otherwise. There are demons at work telling us that they don't deserve the same because their parents didn't follow the rules in entering our country. There are demons at work telling us that they can't have it the same because it costs too much and it's too hard. There are demons at work telling us that there is not enough to share. There are demons at work telling us that we have other problems to deal with, that our own daily lives are too full and too difficult, and that we have too many worries to care. Have you thought one of those things recently? I have. And you know what? That's the demons speaking to us. And they are legion. See, the migrant people at our nation's border, they aren't the ones I'd compare to the man with a legion of demons today. And the homeless folks at our train station, they aren't him either. And neither are the LGBTQ marchers in Pride Month. No, we are the man who is chained up and kept in the tombs, chained up by a legion of demons that wants to keep us in death and in isolation and in denial. Demons that want us to believe that there is nothing we should do and nothing we can do. Because that is how evil wins. When good people do nothing. That's the devil. That's the devil and all his empty promises, as our baptismal liturgy says. And today, folks, Jesus comes to us in those tombs. Jesus comes to us to liberate us and to set us free, to set us free from all our legion of demons. Because you, my friend, you are somebody's baby. You are a beloved and cherished and treasured and worthy child of God. And like the man at the end of the story, once you realize all that Jesus has done for you, you cannot help but declare it. You cannot help but declare just what God has done for you and how good it is. And Jesus makes clear that declaring what God has done for you is not just about words. It's not paying lip service to our demons. It is about our lives. It is about what we do. It is about deciding ourselves, dedicating ourselves to the service of others, especially to those who are most vulnerable and most in need. It is about joining Jesus in his work of liberation and love for all people. And by the grace of God, and by the hard work of others in the church, Jesus is giving us just the opportunity to do that this morning. Jesus is giving us just that chance. Our synod already has a ministry to support migrant minors, such as those being detained at our border. Because guess what? Not all of them are being detained quite so far south. Hundreds of youth are being held in detention centers in nearby Harlem in New York City and in Dobbs Ferry, New York. Our synod's Amparo ministry seeks to accompany migrant minors with protection, advocacy, representation, and opportunity. You can read all about it in the July newsletter, but you can be a part of it today. I am inviting you to join me in giving financially today and to committing to support this ministry with time and with energy, with all the glory that you have to give God in the days to come. So today I am putting this $100 check in the offering plate with the words Sanctuary Fund in the memo line. This is the first of monthly donations Dan and I intend to give this ministry. This fund is one that pays for bonds for minors, which are often bonds that are set at thousands and thousands of dollars, so that they can await their trial date, often years in the future, in a home with a family, rather than behind bars in the conditions that you can read all about in the news. These funds also support efforts like our Synod's Sanctuary Youth Group, which takes young people detained in those facilities on outings so they can get some fresh air, run around, be kids for a moment, and even get to talk to a pastor or a trusted adult in the process. Our congregation will be supporting these efforts in the months and weeks to come, perhaps by supplying sandwiches for one of these outings or volunteering to help at it. And you can sign up to keep updated on all of this and to commit your support, commit the glory of God that you know and have experienced in your life to serving others. You can sign up to keep updated on these activities, and not just to keep updated, but to commit your support. On the way out of church today, Allison will be at the doors with a sheet for you to do so. By giving and committing your support today, you're helping to shake loose some powerful demons. You are joining Jesus in his powerful work of love and liberation for all people. Because each one of those children is a beloved child of God. Each one of those children is somebody's baby, as worthy and loved as you and I, as Felix, as our own children. I hope that you will join me today in committing to this. I think it's the difficult and powerful work that Jesus calls us to from the waters of baptism through every moment of our lives. Because we, in those waters of baptism and in our lives, have known the goodness of God. And have known the glory of what it means to be loved and liberated, valued and cherished and set free. For that, today, we give thanks to God, not just with our words, but with our deeds. Amen.